Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all? Nope, because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. My name is Terry, and I'm so happy you're here. Whether you're listening as you do cozy cardio, did you guys see that today on the Today Show? There's something called cozy cardio, where you're literally in your sweats and you have a cup of coffee and a candle burning, and you're just slowly either walking on one of those like walking pads or, you know, just kind of hanging out. Doing a quiet setup. I am here for cozy cardio. The reason I brought that up is because they were saying, oh, you know, you can do cozy cardio while you are listening to your favorite book or your favorite podcast. And I thought, oh, who out there is doing cozy cardio while listening to the Character Outs podcast? I really want to know. Okay, it's been a wild week. I'm sure you guys have heard that the Northeast experienced an earthquake, and it was wild. I was sitting on my bed on the phone with, I was making a dentist appointment for my youngest, and I was on the phone with her and just giving, you know, insurance information, whatever, address, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I feel my bed shaking like something out of a horror movie. And I was like, oh my God, like what the fuck is going on? And I hear my dog's cage like start hitting the wall. And I was like, okay. And I thought it was like the cats or the dog playing under the bed. And when I realized that there were no animals in the room and it was just me sitting on the shaking bed, and I could hear like clanging in the house, and I was like, and I got scared and I stood up, and the lady I was on the phone with goes, did you just feel that? I go, wait, you just felt that? And we both just started laughing. We're like, oh my God. And we literally sat on the phone with each other for like 10 minutes, like confirming that we're not losing our minds. And we both literally felt the shaking. It was wild. It was wild. But the funniest thing was watching on the news and, you know, watching New Yorkers be like, yeah, I thought it was a truck, or yeah, I didn't know there was a subway around here, or they interviewed this guy in I wanted to say bartender, but no, in a barber shop. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, I thought it was a fight. I thought a fight had broken out. Us New Yorkers are not used to the ground shaking. And if the ground is shaking, it's the subway or the train or a big truck passing by. So it was just funny that literally all of us were like, what? Huh? What's going on? And like, nobody did anything. That was the other thing. Like, we just sat there like, an earthquake? What? And then after it settled, it was like, oh my God, is everyone okay? Are my kids okay? You know, but Californians are cracking up at us because they're like, yeah, you babies, we experience this all the time. But for us, it was, I don't know, I felt kind of, I don't know, honored that I was a part of an earthquake. As funny as that sounds. I'm from Florida. I'm used to hurricanes. I'm not used to the ground moving. A wild week. And then today we've got the solar eclipse. Pretty amazing. And the zone of totality, which is the area of the eclipse where the earth will go completely dark, is in Rochester, New York, I believe. That's what I heard. Please forgive me if I'm incorrect on that, but that's what I heard. So, and we're pretty close to the zone of totality, so I think that we'll actually experience some darkness for a few minutes. It's going to be exciting. So, kept my 5-year-old home from school, but I still wanted to record. So if you hear crunching or little feet in the background, that's a child. So, you know, I told him that I'm going to be recording the podcast, and he knows, but you know, you never know. You never know what you're going to get, especially in this house. You just never know. So anyway, yeah, we're excited about that, but it's a new week. I'm excited about a new week, and today we're going to be talking about acceptance, how we get to the place of acceptance. Acceptance that we are no contact with our toxic family, acceptance that we will never go to a family gathering, acceptance that we will never experience having an event where we are surrounded by people that have the same nose as us, people that share the same DNA as us, people who share the same childhood with us, people who knew us when we were born. You know, that's something that we have to get to, because if we don't get to the place of acceptance, we may have a tendency to stay in an unsettling state where we are either trying to fix something that will forever remain broken, and we know it's going to be broken, but we can't get past it, or we can stay in a place where we're just sad about it. And I don't want us to be stuck in either one of those places, because then it makes us miss out on the blessings in life and the blessings that are in front of us. And I think that it keeps us from enjoying the life that we were meant to live. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, our toxic family has taken enough from us. And so we're not going to allow them to do or take any more from us. So today I'm going to be reading a story I found. It's called themedium.com. It's called Acceptance and Happiness. So here we go. Quote, letting go is not about releasing, it's about accepting what already is, end quote. Acceptance is a major pillar of a happy life. The attitude of acceptance has the power to neutralize many noises in our head and to find answers to many questions that are unanswered. When you accept who you are, your mind comes to ease. You can make your life much better when you start accepting things as they are. Let's begin with a story I read a few months back. Once upon a time in Gurukul, a disciple asked his guru a question. What is life? How to lead a successful life? Oh, beloved guru, can you please explain its secret to me? The guru answered, life is a game of choices to be made within the stipulated time, and its purpose is to live. The confounded disciple asked to elaborate. Guru replied, as human beings, we are powered with intellect to make choices throughout our life, which will result in experiences. These experiences, pleasant or vexing, will act as building blocks of life. He further took students to the field outside Gurukul. The day was sunny and the field was filled with blooming sunflowers diligently planted in separate lines. The guru had a task for each student. Each disciple had to pluck the largest sunflower in the line allotted to him in a limited amount of time. But there was a condition, that students cannot revert to pluck the flower that they have seen before. They had to go straight in a single direction to bring the biggest flower. Disciples started their task, and when they completed the task, results were as follows. 1. Few disciples saw a big flower in the beginning, and in hope that they would get a bigger flower, ended up with a small or medium-sized flower ahead in the line. 2. Few disciples saw a big flower in the beginning and plucked it and brought it back as the biggest flower. But they always had doubt. What if there were a bigger flower ahead in line? Did we make a mistake by choosing this? 3. Another set of disciples kept on going and never found the biggest flower. They returned empty-handed. They were disappointed as they did not choose while they had a chance to pluck a flower in the middle of their journey. 4. Few disciples got frustrated when they could not find a bigger flower than the one they saw previously. They plucked a medium-sized flower in the middle of their journey and brought it back. A few lucky ones found the biggest flower at the end, but they could not return in time. But at last, every disciple was disappointed and had his own doubts. Seeing the dejected and regretful faces of the disciples, the guru announced that there will be another round with a different set of rules. This time, each disciple had to pluck a flower which they find most elegant and beautiful. When they came back, some had plucked large ones, while some small ones. Some were tall, while some were short. In the end, each disciple seemed satisfied and happy with the flower they had. So this story, I feel like it can pertain to life with our toxic families and no contact with our toxic families, because we've always been in the mode of fixing it. We've always been the responsible party. It's never been our parents. It's never been our narcissistic mother or father, or even our golden child sibling or toxic sibling. It's never been up to them. It's been up to us. We've always had the task of fixing it. What can we do? Then we get to this place of no contact, and we know it's the right place to be, but we can doubt ourselves. So let's listen to a few of the ways that this author has brought some of the lessons full circle. Number one, cut short the journey. Learn to find happiness in the small things. Many of us fall into this category. Like the first set of disciples, we ignore the first big flower in hope that we may find a bigger one. To me, isn't that so applicable? Because we ignore the first sign that everything is fucked up, right? We just think, no, that can't be reality. That can't be life. I'm just gonna keep on trying and I'm gonna keep on going. No. We need to accept what we see. We need to accept the toxicity in front of us. We need to accept the fucked up behavior that our families brought to the table and not keep seeking a better outcome. Number two, forget about the what ifs. Once the decision has been made, like the second set of disciples, many wonder and regret that they could have done a little more. Have you ever felt that way? I have, and I still tend to be hit with some of those emotions like, well, what if I would have been just a little more understanding of my mother's traumatic background? Or what if I would have been a little more understanding of my stepmother's traumatic past or my father's inability to meet me where I was? You know, what if? What if I shouldn't have gone no contact? If any of you ever thought that? We have to forget about the what ifs. We have to trust ourselves. We were taught never to trust ourselves, and we have to trust ourselves. We have to trust what was given to us, what was handed to us in life, the family that we were given, and we have to forget about the what ifs. What if they were to change? What if I would have done something different? What if I actually got an apology from them? No, we made the decision to go no contact for a reason. That is it, period. We need to keep walking and forget about the what ifs. Number three, dream big, find your focus, and start helping. You have to trust yourself that you have done your best work. You have tried. I know that if you are at the place of no contact, you have given your all. You have apologized for things you didn't do. You have jumped through hoops. You have modified your life. You have become a version of yourself that you really don't love, but you really wanted family. So I'll become this version of myself that I really don't love. But if you love me during this version, then that's the person I'll be. No, you need to start dreaming big. And it will not include your family. You need to find your focus. And it's not going to have anything to do with the focus your family had for you or the person your family thought you were. So try to find your focus. Find out what you love doing. Reconfigure your life. Dream big and start again. Number four, find your mistakes early and correct them and listen to your gut. That is so powerful because in order to heal, we can't just sit in this place of, yeah, well, I didn't do anything. What? I did shit. We all did shit. Now, that's not to say that we didn't actually have a narcissistic parent with narcissistic personality disorder or a toxic family member, even if they don't have a label, who really fucking hurt us, right? We can own our mistakes. If we don't, we're going to be stuck and we won't grow. And we could perhaps get into a place of bitterness. And ew, who wants that? Nobody wants bitterness because then you're old and ugly, okay? There's no amount of Botox that can fix a bitter, yucky, disgusting countenance, okay? So we have to find our mistakes, not for them, not to stay in a place of, oh my God, I suck, but to find our mistakes and break those toxic generational cycles so we can be very, very cognizant of how we do not want to behave. We've seen how we don't want to behave. So by embracing our mistakes, we can then be the person and the complete, continually healing version of ourselves. And listen to your gut. Like, that one was difficult and still a little confusing for me sometimes because we were always, I don't know about you, but my narcissistic mother always said, listen to your gut, listen to your gut, listen to your gut. But she always made me question my gut. So when I would listen to my gut and say, yeah, this is what I want to do, she'd be like, no, that's not it. So it's a confusing place to be, but you have to quiet yourself, find your gut, find what your soul is saying to you and listen to that. Quiet all the other voices. Quiet the voices of your toxic family. And number five, if you are blessed with things, keep giving back. And this is a huge one for me. You know, maybe your giving back is, I don't know what that looks like for you. You have to just sit in your quiet and your peace and think about what giving back looks for you. But I have talked to so many victims of emotional and narcissistic abuse over the past year that I've been doing this podcast. And I can tell you that every single thing that all of us have in common is we just want to give back. We just want to make people feel less alone, especially the people I talk to who want to share their story. And I spoke with someone just the other day, and she's going to be actually her episode is going to be released on the 13th of this month. I can't wait for you guys to meet her, but her heart, she has a story, man. And her heart is just, I want to help people. I don't want people to feel like I did. I want my story to help people. And that is what's so beautiful. Find your passion, help people, and give back. And if you have that focus, you will always feel fulfilled and you will feel like you are helping. Maybe it's helping your children. Maybe it's breaking that one toxic generational cycle. Maybe it's focusing on yourself. Maybe it's taking care of your pets. Maybe you aren't married and you are single and you have just broken away from your toxic family and you're recreating your own life. Well, guess what? You have the power to impact everybody around you, the strangers around you, by complimenting. I love complimenting people, especially if you're a woman and you compliment another woman. It totally takes them by surprise because people are used to being in their bubble with their faces in their phones. One thing I love to do is sit at the Starbucks line, let's say, sit in a room, sit in a crowd, and not be on your phone. And just look around. Everyone is on their phone. Whether it's insecurity or habit or whatever, everyone's on their phone. I love to not be on my phone. I love it. It's a challenge. And it's also like extremely unsettling, right? Because it's like, first of all, you're the only one not on your phone and you're standing there like, okay, here I am looking around. Like that's how what we used to do. I remember when I was in the city with my husband on his conference, I went to the bathroom and this lady was standing there and it was a very dark dungeonous like bathroom, right? New York City. And she was like, oh, this lighting is shit. Like I can't see. I'm like, I got you, girl. And I held up my flashlight and I held it like over her head. I'm putting my arm up as if you guys can see what I'm doing. So this is why I should have done a video podcast, but listen, it's Monday morning. Y'all don't want to see me the way I'm dressed right now. Okay. Whatever. Anyways. So I held up my phone and I'm like, I got you, girl. And she goes, oh, thank you. And I was like, you're so beautiful. And she stopped what she was doing. She's like, thank you. Thank you so much. You're beautiful too. And I love those interactions because we do not, as a society, compliment each other enough, whether it's because we're on our phones all the time looking for feedback from Instagram, which, not judging, I do it too, but we don't. And especially if you're a woman, we don't compliment each other. We're too busy sizing each other up. Oh my gosh, am I fatter than her? Am I prettier than her? Oh, I can't compliment her because, no, one of my favorite quotes is, just because she's pretty doesn't mean you're not. I love that. And I wish every woman would embrace that. Like, no, compliment. I encourage you to find someone and compliment them. Watch them light up. And I feel like if you've come from a toxic family, let me put it like this. If you have survived a toxic family and you are now at the place of no contact, you are strong as fuck. And you have no idea the blessings that you can bring to other people. So find them. Find the people that you can bless. So thank you so much to this article. I will definitely link this in the show notes, but this was just a really powerful lesson in acceptance. So acceptance, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get started. So listen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves fast. If you don't stick around, no, that's not what I was going to say. That's Ferris Bueller. What I was going to say is this no contact journey, it never fucking feels normal. It never feels normal. Even when we've gotten to the place of peace and low-key acceptance or happiness, whatever, it never feels normal. Something always pops up, a memory or a flying monkey or whatever it is. We're constantly reminded that we don't have family, that we're not in contact with our family. And what we have to do when those emotions come in is, oof, how do we receive it? Like, check yourself. When that emotion comes in, when you feel that, is it a sting? Is it a feeling of, yeah, I am so fucking glad I am not happy with my, I am no contact with my toxic family. And sometimes it will be one and you'll feel strong. And sometimes it will be the other and you'll be like, fuck, I have no family. I feel all alone. Just know that both are okay. And you're going to feel both. If you've been on this no contact journey long enough, you've felt the gamut of emotions. And just rest in the fact that you will never be in the perfect place. Sometimes you will be strong, sometimes you will be weak, and it's gonna change. You'll never be at the perfect place, but just know that it's a journey. This no contact life, this no contact journey is just that. It's a journey and it's a process. So I was looking at some old photos of myself, and so I'm actually just turned 48. That sounded weird. I think that's the first time that I've said that. But I'm one who's like, yeah, I'm 48. I feel like aging is a gift. I feel like we have to embrace, like, I don't want to be, and I'm not judging you if you are like this, because everyone to each his own, but I'm like, I don't want to be the one who's like, oh, I'm 29. Yeah, I'm 29. I'm 29. Like, no, 1976, baby, 48, aging is a gift. But with that, you know, I have my 30th high school reunion coming up. 30 fucking years. Like, how have I been out of school for 30 years? There's no words. That silence there is how I feel. There are no words. So with my 30th high school reunion coming up, you know, I see on my Facebook feed, like all these like old pictures of me from high school. And there's a tendency to look back, or even like 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, wow, I don't have that wrinkle. Or wow, I was 10 pounds lighter. Or wow, like I didn't need Botox then. Or, you know, wow, I'd kill to have that hair again. Or whatever. You know, I just feel like some people can stay and stuck and see old pictures, or think of an old memory, or maybe even think of an old relationship and be like, wow, I wish. But we all have to accept that there is no time machine, right? I can't go back to 19. I can't go back to 17. Do I sometimes wish I could? Yes, but then I quickly go, no, because all of the experiences have made me who I am today. Now, would I love to have the energy or the body or the skin of my 20-year-old self? Yes, but I can't. So with it comes acceptance. I have to accept that I can't eat ice cream for breakfast anymore. I have to accept that I can't shove Oreos in my face all day long. You know, my metabolism used to be fucking fantastic and now it's not. Welcome to your 40s. It's just not that way anymore. Like, you have to get to a place of acceptance, right? Now, I know I can't change that. We don't debate it, right? We don't debate time. We don't debate it. It has to be the same when it comes to no contact with our toxic family. We have to accept it. So however you get to that place of acceptance, whether it's, yeah, that's how it was, this is how it is, period. We have to accept it. We have to get at the place of acceptance. We have to not romanticize what it was. We have to start focusing on our future, focusing on our health, focusing on our journey, focusing on the people who are in front of us, because life is not going to stop. I mean, back to the Ferris Bueller comment, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you're gonna miss it. And how sad would it be if our toxic family took so many years from us and then continued, even after we were no contact, to take years from us? I don't know about you, but no fucking way am I gonna allow that to happen. Absolutely not. I will not stay in a place of grieving constantly. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. And I will not stay in a place of questioning myself forever. No, I know what fucking happened. I know the people that my family are. I'm gonna fucking keep walking with zero guilt, no matter what society throws at me, no matter what I throw at myself and I gaslight myself. No,
I'm going to stand in this place of no contact, and I'm going to know that I made the right decision. And I hope that you can get to that place too. There's a song that I love by Imagine Dragons, and I heard it years ago, and it's like, it was my anthem for a while. A particular verse goes, I've been around the world and never in my wildest dreams would I come running home to you. I've told a million lies, but now I tell a single truth. There's you in everything I do. So that verse really resonated with me because as my mother was kicking me out of the house and she was literally gaslighting me, putting me into a corner, putting me in such a state of emotional distress. I've said it before on this podcast. I raised my fist at her and I saw her shock. And I all of a sudden was like, oh. And when I lowered my fist and we both were just kind of standing there in silence, and she looked at me and said, you'll be back. Ew. First of all, ew that I look back on that moment where I raised my fist at my mother and I shudder. But the thing that has not excused it, but the thing that has made me feel better is reactive abuse is fucking real, friends. And if you don't know about reactive abuse, I'm going to attach an article that can help you. Because I didn't know what reactive abuse was. I just thought I was a horrible fucking person that I raised my fist at my own mother. But reactive abuse, according to the National Legal Service Solicitors, which is, I mean, you can find information on reactive abuse everywhere, but this is just the one article that I pulled. Reactive abuse is an in-the-moment reaction to mistreatment from another person. When a victim reacts, the abuser uses this reaction to impart further abuse in the form of blame shifting. The abuser will transform into a victim themselves in an attempt to make the victim view the situation in a different way and believing a different reality than the one that's actually being lived. In this way, reactive abuse is often seen as a form of gaslighting, which is the emotional manipulation of a victim. So another thing that it says is this is because of the body's flight or fight response. When faced with a situation in which a person feels threatened or unsafe, the body naturally wants to flee or protect itself by fighting back, followed by a prolonged period of constant and consistent abuse. Many victims find that their fight or flight response kicked in. And when I realized that and forgave myself and realized that I was in a state of reactive abuse, my mother had been emotionally abusing me, gaslighting, manipulating me, pushing my buttons for years. And when I finally stood up and I broke out, it came in the form of me raising my fist at her. Horrible. But it was reactive abuse. And so I don't ever, ever want to get to the place of that ever again. I never want to be that person again. And that's another thing that keeps me on this no contact journey. I don't like the person that I am when I'm with my toxic family. I hate it. I want to be as far away from that version of myself, that version that my toxic family brings out in me. I want to be as far away from it as I possibly fucking can. So how do we be okay with the fact that we will never see our parents again? Not even in a coffin. There, I said it. I don't know about you guys, but typically if you are no contact, you've had somebody say, oh, well, you'll regret it when they die. You're going to regret it. Well, guess what? The one thing that my mother always used to say, which was a really great coping skill that I still employ today. And again, that's the annoying thing about having a smart narcissist who raised you. She actually did have some good advice. And one of the good things that she taught me in life was take yourself to the worst case scenario. What is the worst case scenario about any situation? Can you survive that? If you can picture yourself walking through the worst case scenario and you find yourself that you're going to be okay, you are going to be okay no matter what the worst case scenario is, friend. I promise you. Take it to the worst case scenario. When somebody threw that out to me, they're like, oh, well, you're going to regret it when they die. Or how are you going to feel when they die? Well, I put myself in that situation. And now I can't fully put myself in this situation because it hasn't happened yet. But I feel like I'm a smart enough person and I've been through enough and I know my toxic family enough that I could put myself in that situation. So all of my entire toxic family is still alive. My brother, my stepmother, my father, my mother, they're all fucking living and breathing. They're all alive. I haven't experienced the death of a toxic family member. I've spoken to people on this podcast who have, though, and check out some of their episodes. It's very powerful. But I can tell you, for me, I have taken myself to the place of, how am I going to feel? And I'll probably cry. I probably will. But will I have regrets? Maybe a moment of regret. But I tell you one thing, especially when it comes to my father, who said, "My daughter is dead to me." The one scenario that plays through my head is that I'm going to get a phone call from someone, whether it's my brother or my stepmom or someone. So my dad is a smoker. He eats cake all day. Like, he's not a healthy man. But who knows? Like, who knows who's gonna die first? What a morbid fucking conversation, but here we go. So I always picture like someone reaching out to me and being like, "Yeah, you know, your dad is dying and he's asking for you." And I always picture myself receiving that call. And what will I say? And my answer is going to be, "Sorry." Like, "I'm sorry. You don't get to treat me the way that you did. You don't get to fucking be an absent father my entire life. Get me back in my adulthood. Promise that you'll never leave me. Become my best friend. And then because your wife punches me in the stomach and you take zero responsibility for it and you don't even want to have a conversation with your daughter, you say my daughter is dead to me." Like, words have power. And I will never get over those words. You can't take them back. So I always think in my head, my response is going to be, "Last time I checked, dead daughters can't take care of their fathers." You know, life has consequences. Choices have consequences. And I cried. I still cry over my dad. You can't take that back. You can't take the years that we missed back. You can't take the fact that you not only said, that I'm dead to you, but you discarded all of my children as well, and my husband who loved you as well. You can't fucking take that back. So that's where my mind goes. As far as my mother, like, I'm not going to the fucking funeral. Why? I had a friend once say, you know, "You should have a funeral. Maybe it would help you. Like, you should have closure." And I thought about that. I was like, okay, let's do it. But what comes with a funeral? A eulogy, right? Where you sit around and you talk about all the wonderful things about that person. I can't fucking do that. Now, my mother wasn't all a bad person, right? She wasn't all bad. But to write a eulogy that I would actually read and honor her, like, no. So all that to say, wow, how did we get so morbid? Here we are, friends. Here we are having a very morbid conversation, but Character Outs podcast, we're going to talk about all this shit. So here we are. I feel like it helps us to get to the place of reconciliation with ourselves, acceptance with the fact that we're not going to go back. We are never going to be that weak again. And you have to understand, whether you're just starting out on this no contact journey or you've been on this no contact journey for a few months or a few years, friends, you get stronger. Every step you take down this no contact journey, you get stronger. And the concept of letting them back in just becomes mind numbing. It's like, oh my God, absolutely not. No, I would never. You actually see the damage for what it's worth, that the damage that was done to yourself, the damage that's done to your kids. You see the peace. And again, societal norms and ideologies will say, but it's your family. It's like, no, whether the family is your little Yorkie or your partner or your chosen family, which consists of your besties, whatever family that is, That's your fucking family now. Rest in that. Rest in that confidence in yourself. Know you're not an asshole. Know you're not a villain. And accept it. Accept it. And maybe that acceptance for you comes with a good cry and eating an entire pint of Van Leeuwen's ice cream. My favorite is pistachio. Try it. I don't know. I don't know what that means for you. Maybe it's journaling for you. Maybe it's revisiting why you went no contact. But whatever it is, I encourage you to get to the place of acceptance. Or maybe, like I said, it's playing through the worst case scenario in your head. Play it out. What does it look like for you? How does it feel? Live through the emotions. All I can say is, we're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I never thought I was going to be okay away from my mother. The thought of living without my mother sent fear, literal fear, down every part of my body. And even in my 30s, when I was going to a therapist and I was not no contact and everything was just kind of unfolding, and I realized that my mom was unhealthy and she was toxic, and I did not have all the jargon associated with narcissism. I had nothing. I had nothing to describe it or explain it, but my therapist would look at me and she'd be like, "Why are you so afraid of your mom?" And it's because we were conditioned. That fear is hardwiring. We were hardwired to fear leaving them, but we can break free of that. It's so scary. I know the pang of fear that you feel, but I'm telling you, you're going to be okay. And you know what? No contact is not an abrupt thing. It's a slow thing. It's a slow pull. It's a step-by-step thing. And wherever you are on this journey, I just encourage you to trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust your story. Trust your past. Know that it happened exactly how you remember it. And I just encourage you to get to the place of acceptance. And that's it, friends. That's all I got. Be sure to join the Instagram crew, Character Outs Podcast, over there. If you need anything, be sure to email me at characteroutspodcast@gmail.com. Check out the Stan store. It is kind of an evolving thing. I'm creating all kinds of chats. For those of you who are in whatever stage of this no contact journey, if you need help, I also offer a one-time free chat session. Again, not for anyone who is in crisis. There are resources for you if you are in crisis. They're on my website. Be sure to check out the Character Outs merch. I wear my bracelet every day and I look at the mirror and I'm reminded to keep walking. So I love that it joins us as a community. So check that out. That's it, my friends. I hope you have a beautiful week wherever you are. Know that you are not alone. I am walking with you. I am standing with you. I am encouraging you. I am whispering in your ear that you are a badass and that you keep walking, because you know what? You deserve better and you always have. Cheers till next time, friends.